Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've read that that scripture, Joshua chapter 3, and the title I'm going to give this message is The River of Impossibility. We know the theme for this month is a theme, month of possibility. So our God is able, as we read in Ephesians, is able to do everything. Even Father, to those things that we can't even imagine, he's able to do it. And as we read from that scripture, that passage, the story of the Israelite, they've been through a lot. They've been through slavery. They've been to, 40 years in the wilderness. And things have happened to them along the way. They've crossed the Red Sea. And here they are. God has promised the elders, God has promised their forefathers that he was going to take them to a place. He was going to take them to a land full of milk and honey. And here they are at the verge of getting into that promise. But there was something that was obstructing them. There was a river, the river of impossibility. It was not possible at that time, because if we read in verse 15, it says that the river was overflowing its banks. I was reading my commentary in the New King James, it was explaining what happened at that time. It was talking about the mountain in Lebanon. And it says, because this usually happens around springtime, that's what they said. I mean, scholars have actually proved it, that this incident happened springtime after the snow. So the mountains, the snow on the mountains kind of like, melting and, so coming down onto the river. And it's a time of overflowing. So it wasn't possible for them, even if they say, okay, let's get a boat or let's swim. How far can they go? And for some of us, we've gotten to a point in our life. We want to claim the promises of God, but there's an obstruction. There's something that is standing in our way. And those things I call the river of impossibility. For all of us, it's different. For me, it's different. It could be financial issue. It could be marital. It could be you have a problem with a child. It could be health. It could be an addiction. It could be a sin, a hidden sin, something that you've been struggling with and nobody knows about it. It could be temper. So we all have different river of impossibility, something that would not allow us to claim the promises of God. I have titled it The River of Impossibility. But even as we have come today with our heart open, as we begin to share, those impossibility in our life will become possible in the name of Jesus. So what do you do when you get there? You're there, you can see it right across the road, across the river. And different thoughts begin to go through your mind. For some of us, it says in there, it says they camped because they were on a journey. They got in there, said they camped. So they were there, but they rose up after 3 days. For some of us, we just build a tent and just cross our leg. Yeah, this is it. This is how far I can go. I'm not, that river Jordan, no way, forget it. Even God is saying that, go, I'm able. And one thing I found out about this Israelite, and one thing I found about us, about my life as well, we're very quick to forget. This is the same God. God has taken them through the rivers of the Red Sea. But we are quick to forget. And this is the same kind of incident. Wouldn't you have thought that it's possible for them to just cry out unto the Lord and said, God, you that did it and so date, you do it for me again. But they had forgotten, but they were there. But thank God for people. Thank God for leaders like Joshua, who was able to receive from the Lord. And thank God, because Pastor has said it as well, that this is our month of possibility. So every river Jordan before us, we will be able to cross and we'll begin to claim our promises in the name of Jesus. And some of us, like I said, will build a tent. What does it mean to build a tent? You've given up. I can't do this. I mean, I don't have the ability. I don't have the education. I don't have what it takes. And I will just settle here. You will settle for less. And you just relax and chill out. Like Pastor would say, you drink pina colada. You just chill out. You just take a rest. You've given up. You've thrown in the towel. You've set a boundary. You've set a limitation over yourself. But what we need to do, or what I would encourage us to do, even as we go, we begin to use those impossibility, even to become a better person. And we begin to do our best to be able to cross that river before us. So in our lives, so if you think this is just a river, I'm just going to cross this, and that's it. I will not lie to you. There are many rivers to cross. As you're crossing one, you're meeting another one in the front. So for somebody that is looking for a spouse, you're looking for a wife or a husband, that could be your River Jordan. And once you get married, that's one river. But there's another river in marriage. I can tell you, I mean, 15 years by the grace of God into it. It is not easy. You know, it is not easy. It's therefore you leave. This is two people from different backgrounds, and you're meeting in the same household. In fact, sometimes you wake up in the morning and say, why did I even get married to this man? And that was, why? You know, they said love is blind, but said marriage is an eye opener. Your eyes will open wide like that. And you will see the two person that you've married. And then you begin to walk. That's a River Jordan. So as you're crossing, for some people, okay, they're fine. So they've gotten it. Everything is fine. Like every day is honeymoon. But there's a river. There's no child. That's another River Jordan. Because God has promised us that none shall be barren. He said, he commanded it. He says, be fruitful. That's the command of the Lord. That we should be fruitful. So that's a River Jordan. Because in the fullness of joy, there's no fullness of joy if you are in a marriage and there's no child. From where I come from, I don't know about here. But from where I come from, after 1 or 2 years, they begin to check your belly. Has anything happened? You know, no matter how you try to get them away, but they won't leave you because that's the expectation that in a marriage you should bear fruit. Amen. So that's a river. So from one River Jordan to the other. You know, the Bible says that in 2 Chronicles, I'm just going to read it because of our time. In 2 Chronicles, you can make a note of it, 16:9. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. So God is looking for an opportunity even to be strong in our life. Because every impossibility is an opportunity for God. Amen? And every impossibility is a possibility for the Most High God. So like I was saying, we could see it right in front of us. So what do? You know, as we have read. Okay, that's God calling us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I've just gotten a bit distracted, but the Lord will help us. Please, let's switch off our phones. Amen. So as we read, you know, that story, they're going to cross. They've got children. If we can read, you know, go back to the incident in the Red Sea. This is a nation. And they were going to cross. And here is Joshua. Moses had his own experience, but that's not the topic for today. But here is Joshua. How am I going to do this? So to the natural eye, this is very, very impossible. To take children, women especially, you can imagine. Like, why did you, we were a very interesting, creature. God is awesome, you know. You can imagine, you know, you're following your husband, and you now get to the Red Sea, into the Jordan, and he says, okay, now here we go. And I would really give him, my heart that, I'm okay where I'm coming from. And this is the river in front of you. You're telling me to jump into this thing. You know, we can be, you know, whatever to our husband. And say, no, I'm not going to cross this. I'm just going to chill out here. But thank God for women in the spirit. Thank God for those women. Thank God for those children. And thank God for the leader. He was able to because he heard right from God. Amen. And like I said, you know, the River Jordan for some of us, crossing it to the other side, there are other things which I'm going to go over quickly because I'm really mindful. They've given me the flag already. But what are those things? What does it mean to us if we can just get over onto the other side of the river? Crossing the land of bondage, even to the land of freedom. That's a River Jordan. If you can cross to the other side, it's a symbol of victory and deliverance. It is saying enough of that, of those old ways. And this is going into the newness of God. It's a final trip, even from the land where you are to the land of fulfillment. And I could say it could be the transition from the land of not enough, even to the land of abundance. Amen? I say amen to that. Just enough, but more than enough. So that he says, you should be a blessing. Not just a blessing, but you will be a blessing. Not that God will just bless you, but you will become a blessing. That is when you have in abundance. That's when you have in excess. That is only the time that your life can be a blessing to someone. So for some of us, the other side of the River Jordan, that is what it is to some of us. And sometimes we want to use our own power. We want to use our own wisdom to do things, to cross the river. But we need to rely on God because he's the God of all impossibility. My prayer this morning is that in the name of Jesus, the Lord will show himself strong. He will show up at the edge of our river, the river of our life, the River Jordan of our life. The Lord will show up in the mighty name of Jesus. And even as the Holy Spirit will begin to lead us, he will begin to drive. You know, it says in there, if you read, I'm not sure which verse now. It says, I'll begin to drive away. You know, begin to mention, I think it's in verse 10. It says, today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, and all the ites. We know it. All the ites are not good. They're not good. They are obstacles. They are obstruction to our lives. So whatever represents an ite in your life, as the Holy Spirit begins to lead us across, the Lord will deliver us. He says he's the man of war. He says the battle is not ours. The battle is his. He's the only one. He's a great strategist. He knows what to do. And he will begin to lead us in the name of Jesus. Another example, going through the scripture. I mean, two people that we know faced a similar situation in their life was Elijah and Elisha. When he was about to go into heaven, we know the story. He had to cross the River Jordan as well. It's the same River Jordan. He had to cross it to get even to where he's going, the promise that he was going to be taken away. And this is Elisha as well. He followed him. We know what happened. I'm not, because of our time, we don't want to go into the scripture. They were able to cross over. But one thing happened, if we really look at that scripture, was something that happened to Elisha. If we remember very well, after his master has been taken away, he came back. Can we remember what happened to him? He got to the same river as well. And he had to cross. But he remembered that the God of Elijah, the God that did it for my master, he's able to do it. And he stretched the mantle forth. And what would the Bible say? The Bible said the river Jordan parted for him. So he was able to cross and he was able to enter into destiny. For some of us that God has called into a ministry, you are serving in the house of God. God has called you. Serve faithfully. We know the story of Elijah, how he served. He said he was able to cross over and he entered into his destiny. But another thing that happened when you're at the verge of your river, I think we'll need to read this. It's in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Verse 7. You know, it says in there that the 50 men of the sons of the prophets, it says they went and stood in view afar off. And they stood by the River Jordan. So you're not just alone by your River Jordan, you know that. Your enemy, they're there, waiting as well. So they want to see what's going to happen. Are you going to cross over? They're there to see your frustration. So you can imagine those people, they wanted to cross. There's no boat. Even though there's a boat, the river is overflowing. Even if they want to build a bridge, there's no material to build it. So you want to start a business. The money is not coming. There's no money anywhere. Financially, you're down. So the enemy, and that's the time when you're at the River Jordan. So if you're lonely now, if your friends have deserted you, that's what happens when you get to the edge of River Jordan. They'll watch you from afar off, and they're looking. Let's see what's going to happen to her. Will she be able to cross? Will he be able to cross? Let's see what's going to happen to her. Will she have the wisdom? Does she have enough resources? Will she get enough help? So they're there. They're waiting to see your frustration. But thank God for God of possibility. Hallelujah. Even at the same, if we look down and read from verse, I think 2 Kings, when Elijah came back, he said, the same sons of prophet. He says, and in verse 9, 2 Kings 2, 9 to 10, he says, and so it was when they crossed over that Elijah said to Elijah, ask of me before, although this is when they got there. So that passage is actually talking about when he received. But deep down, if we read further down, he said the same prophet, The same sons of prophets are the same people that came to him. And that's when they now acknowledge that this one, the mantle on Elijah has fallen upon this one. So when you are able to cross to your river, across your river, Jordan, that's when you begin to attract friends. That's when people begin to say, that woman is an anointed woman. You can imagine, you're looking at me now. I'm crossing my river, Jordan. By the time I start preaching without note, you know, say, that woman, she's anointed. But there's a time that I had to read my notes. That's the river Jordan I had to cross. Amen. You know, they would acknowledge. You are all looking at me, said, she can't even preach off her head. She's looking at her notes. Yes, I'm looking at my notes. Hallelujah. A time would come when I will preach without notes. Amen. I know you all testify of the goodness of the Lord. Because God, the Holy Spirit, said he will remind us of everything that we've been taught. A time will come where we'll stand here, maybe not the school, but somewhere, our building. You know, when God, the Holy Spirit, will begin to download fresh. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that is when you begin to attract friends. They'll begin to see the goodness of the Lord in your life. But don't feel alone at this point because you're at the edge of your river Jordan. Praise the Lord. But one thing I want us to know before I go on, there's a reward at the other side of the river. There's a reward. You know, if we look at the story of Elisha and Elijah, it was after they crossed the river Jordan the first time. That was when Elisha told him that he said, well, if you can see before, he said, if you can see me be taken away, ask of anything, and we know what happened. But it was until when he crossed over and he saw his master being taken away, that was when he received the mantle. Praise the Lord. So there was a reward at the other side of the river. Even as we begin to take courage, as we begin to move on to the next level of our life, the Lord will begin to reveal himself to us in the name of Jesus. And on the other side of the river, if we look at the story of Elijah, is a place of double honor. It's a place of double anointing. Because we know what happened to Elijah. He received the double. It was said in the scripture that Elisha did 7 miracles and Elijah did 14. So it was double. And I pray as we begin to move on to the river, to the other side of the river, we'll begin to receive double for all heartache, for all hardship that we have gone through up until now in the name of Jesus. So when you're faced with your river, the river of impossibility, what are the things that you could do to get you to the other side? And the first thing we're going to look at, is in Joshua 3. I'm really, really jumping now. So please bear with me. Joshua chapter 3. And it's in verse 3. Now our text. So just open Joshua 3 because we're going to be going through it. Joshua 3, 3. It says in there that it says 3 days later. Where's verse 3? It says, given this instruction to the people, when you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, move out from your position and follow them. God gave them instruction that once you see the priest, because that's the instruction, the priest would go forward and then the people would go after. So God is saying that when you see the priest, he asked them to do something. He didn't say sit down. He didn't say just remain in your tent. He said then you need to move. So what God is saying to us when we are faced with our river of impossibility, that we need to step out in faith. We need to step out. We need to conquer every fear. What is those voices that is telling us we cannot make it? We need to step out and begin to go. And begin to make an attempt to cross our river. Praise the Lord. You know, in 1 John 5:4, he said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Praise the Lord. So it is only by faith that we can overcome. Hallelujah. So when we're faced with this situation, we could have the two things that could happen to us. We could remain in unbelief or we could step out. An unbelief heart will tell you cannot cross. But a heart of faith will tell you, I can make it. I can walk over the water. I can get to the other side of it. In the name of Jesus, our faith will begin to rise up this morning in Jesus' name. And I believe that whatever it is that is not allowing God, the fullness of God, to be manifested in our life, it's a revival of impossibility. But the Lord will conquer it for us in Jesus' name. For some of us can be here, you don't know Jesus. You've not given your life to God. You're still on the other side of the River Jordan. Giving your life to Jesus is moving on to the other side. Saying that, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to live a life of sin. I want to know you more. I want to have the fullness of you in my life. Inviting the Holy Spirit to take you over. For some of us, that's the decision we need to make to get to the other side. And the Holy Spirit will minister to us in the name of Jesus. Another thing that we could do, the instruction that was given in verse 4, it says in there that they should keep a distance. So the priest is going forward and he said, keep your distance. Don't move too close. And what is that saying to us? There's some things that we need to keep distance from. If we really want to cross to the other side, we need to keep away from sin. We need to keep away from sin. What are those things that is limiting us? A sin is a barrier in our lives. Sin is a barrier. It's a wall that divides us. Because he said God is holy. He cannot behold iniquity. So if I invite him, because we could tell from that story, he said God was there. The ark of the Lord represents God. So that was God in front of them. So if you're inviting the Holy Spirit, if you're inviting God into your situation, there is no way you can remain in sin. And you're asking God, move in my situation. But I pray even as we come, the Lord will give us deliverance in the mighty name of Jesus. The other thing that we need to do, it says in verse 3, it says they got up. In verse 3, they rose up. After 3 days, it said they arose. They got up. They did something. They didn't just sit in one place. There is no way we can cross sitting down. So we need to stand up and begin to do something. If God has given you a vision, for some of us, we can see a vision. That's our River Jordan. We can see the promises of God. But we need to cross. What are those things? Do you have to go back to college? Do you have to do something? Do you have to change your lifestyle? What are those things that you need to do one step after the other? And I pray that even as we have come, God will begin to reveal those things that we need to do in the mighty name of Jesus for us to claim our promises. The other thing that we need to do, which is really where I really want to, but I don't have much time. It says, consecrate yourself in verse 5. It says, consecrate yourself. In verse 5, it says, purify yourself. For tomorrow, the Lord will do a great wonder among you. We know the theme for this year. It says, it's the year of supernatural exploit. But God is saying to us that we need to consecrate ourselves. What does it mean to consecrate? I looked in the dictionary. It means to set something apart for a special purpose. For those of us that have had children, you know, you're expecting a baby. You look, you can maybe have 3 bedroom and you have only one child. You probably dedicate one room for that baby. Some, you know, well, I only had the privilege to do one. Thank God for children. You know, you decorate that room. If you know you're having a girl, you color it pink or blue, you color it blue, everything special. You clean. You arrange everything because you're expecting somebody special. You're expecting a baby. A baby is special to every home. So the same thing God is saying to us, clean yourself up. Set yourself apart. Even as you have set that room apart for the baby, set yourself apart for me. Clean yourself. Purify yourself. Make yourself holy. That's what that word means. So that I can use you. Make yourself, in 2 Timothy 2:20, he said, I will be a vessel unto honor. Not just consecrate ourselves, but we need to consecrate our time. Set time apart to worship God. Set time apart with God. Set time apart to read and study your word. Hallelujah. You know, for those of us that are single, this is the best time to do it, though. Now that you're single. Because a time would come when you have a husband, or that's even better, when you begin to have children. Because you don't have a life anymore. Your life is around your husband. Your life is around your children. To even create 10 minutes to worship, to even pray God, to praise God, or even to worship, it might be maybe that's even another River Jordan you need to cross for some of us. Praise the Lord. But set yourself apart. Not just that. Not just our time. But what else do we need? Can we set apart? Our money. If you look at your top, your checkbook, we'll see whether you're really, really consecrating your money to God. How do you use your money? But God is saying, set your money apart for my kingdom. Another thing that we need to do is consecrate our gift. God has given some of us gift of organization. Some are wonderful orators. What are those things that God has given unto us? God has given unto us those gifts, not just to use in our secular world, not just to use in our home, but to bring it into the house of the Lord so that we can glorify God with our gift. That is consecrating our gift. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. And the next thing that I want us to look at is after we've consecrated ourselves, but one thing that we need to do, which, you know, this actually, I need to add this to it, is sacrifice. There is no way you would want to cross a river Jordan or a river opposite that you would not sacrifice. It says something in there, if you read. It said Joshua rose up early in the morning. Joshua is known to be an early riser. He said he would rise up. I think in chapter 6, he rose up. Some of us, we need to sacrifice our sleep. Some of us, we need to, you know, sacrifice our comfort. We're too comfortable in this country. You know, Gio said something a while back. I had him. He said those days when he needs to really pray, that he doesn't pray. He doesn't stay on the bed. He will sleep on the floor where it is uncomfortable. I did it this week, because I knew I had to pray and I had to prepare. I removed my duvet. I left it on. I didn't want to be too comfortable because, you know, nice bed. And we have nice beds compared to where we come from. You know, you can sleep. You know, in fact, they're waking, you can't even. You're too comfortable. Some of us, we need to lose. We need to sacrifice our comfort so that we can cross to the other side. We need to sacrifice our lifestyle. Some of us, we're so used to a particular lifestyle. Sunday afternoon, you go to the gym. Evening, you go to the gym. This one, this is it. This one, that's it. No interruption. Nobody can call you to do anything. You're so, you know, so it's good to plan. Me, I don't have, especially Sunday, I don't have a timetable for Sunday. I don't fix anything on a Sunday because I know anything can happen. I try not to. So you need to sacrifice. Sometimes you get a phone call. You have to. Somebody is in the hospital. Maybe when I've, you know, in fact, it happened to me once. I said, but nothing can remove me from this house this week. And of course, the phone call came. Somebody gave birth or somebody was in the hospital. And we had to go. I said, God. So that sacrifice. You need to live a life of sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Then we need to look, even, I mean, as after we've done all that, we need to anticipate. We need to expect. We need to be expectant. You know, God gave them instruction in verse 3, in verse 12 to 17. We're not going to read. He told them, when you do this, this will happen. When you do that, this will happen. So there was an expectation. And as they did it, it happened. So for some of us, sometimes we pray, but there's no expectation. We pray because we believe prayer works. But when God finally did say, I didn't know. I didn't know God is going to, it happened to me before. You're praying for something and it happened to you. And you're wondering. And you say it out. In fact, your heart, you say it out. You didn't know. You didn't believe God is going to answer that prayer, even when you're praying it. Maybe I'm the only one. But God knows all our hearts. You know, it's happened to me. Not just once. You're praying for something and you're not really expecting a result. The Lord will deliver us in Jesus' name. You know, the last thing there, it says they need to create a memorial. When you have crossed to the other side of your river Jordan, you need to testify to the goodness of the Lord. You know, it says something there. It said, each one of them, each tribe, the 12 tribes of Israel, pick a stone. And it is, it said, pick a stone from the middle of the river Jordan, right in the middle. Pick a stone, and when you get to the edge, you are not carrying, they're not carrying it far, just by the edge. Put those things, build a memorial for me. Something to remind you of. Something to remind you. And if you read further, that not just for you, it says for your children as well, for generations to come after you. Oh, mommy, why did this happen on social? This one, write it down. Because you might forget, write it down because you don't know. I love writing journals. I love writing. Write it down on so day. This is what God did for me. Because you never know. We're all going to live long. I pray none of us. We will fulfill the numbers of our days. But you don't know. If you're no more, your children can pick your journal and they can read of your testimony. And you don't know at what point they will be in their life. Maybe just that testimony will give them the courage to keep on going. So write it down.
Tell, let people see. It's not just that. He says for the whole world to see. I pray that by the time we get to the river, to the other side, people will see us and they will see the glory of the Lord in our lives. They will see that he has to be God to do this thing. He can't be man. I pray that will be our portion in the name of Jesus. So we need to be thankful unto the Lord. We need to be thankful. We need to appreciate what God has done in our lives. We need to give thanks unto him. We need to say, you know, some of us, we want to witness to people, but we don't know so much scripture. Your testimony is enough. You tell somebody on this, God did this for me. This same God can do it for you. I was ill, this is what God did for me. I was poor, this is what God did for me. I was jobless, if that person is jobless, well, look at me, I'm working. That testimony can be just what you need to bring somebody out of bondage, to bring somebody from darkness into the light of the Lord. I pray that the enemy will not steal our testimony in the name of Jesus. And when God intervenes into our impossibility, we need to begin to, you know, we need to humble ourselves, because some of us, my goodness, they will know that you have arrived. I'm sure some people don't understand what I'm talking about. There's a film, I won't mention the name of the film, you know, that they know, they have to know that you have arrived. Let's be careful. Because the enemy is still waiting on the other side of the river Jordan, you know. Because he said he's walking to and fro, seeking him to devour. He doesn't have a resting place. But the Lord our God would help us in the name of Jesus. But one thing I want you to know, you are at this river, you are at this edge, because God wants to give you an everlasting testimony. Amen. So don't think you're going through this just for the fun of it, or just because God wants you to suffer, or just because God wants to, you know, or maybe God has forgotten you. No, you are there so that you'll be a testimony, a lasting testimony in the name of Jesus. In conclusion, let us remember that we need to step out in faith. We need to keep a distance from those things that destroy us, from those things that keep us away from God. We need to consecrate ourselves. We need to get up. We need to change our position. We need to move forward. We need to progress. Take one step and the Lord will meet you there. And we need to begin to walk on water. I think I missed that out actually. We need to walk on water. What does that mean? I have the story of a lady. She didn't have a womb. And God said through a man of God that she was going to have a baby. And she started buying things. She was buying baby clothes. She was keeping it. She didn't let her family know because they'll think she's insane. You know, sometimes we need to do some crazy things, some insane things, so that God can turn that impossibility to possibility. This woman started buying things because God has said it. Be fruitful. It is not an instruction. It is a command. God commanded in Genesis 1:20, he said, be fruitful and multiply. And who is that person? Who is the devil? When God has commanded, who is he that can stand in the way of the Lord? So this woman, she took it and she began to walk on water. She bought those things, and today she has children. Well, from the last time I had it, she had one, but I believe she probably would have more. Amen? So sometimes we need to rise up. We need to begin to walk on our waters. And the Lord will give us the courage. The Lord will give some of us boldness. That's what we need. Boldness to get up. Boldness to begin to take the bull by the horn. And we'll begin to do things that God has commanded us to do. In the name of Jesus. Difficulties are doorways for God. And obstacles are opportunities for God. It's an opportunity for us to know God better. He says this is our year of exploit. Because the Bible says that those that know their God, they shall do exploit. They shall do great things. Even as we begin to rise up, we begin to do great exploits, even for the Lord. And some of us, what we need to say to God, we need to tell God that I have circled this mountain for too long. I have stayed enough on this side of the river. I want to move on to the other side. I want to begin to walk in your fullness in my life. I want the fullness of your promises in my life. All the promises, all the things that you have said concerning me, in my ministry, for my children, I want to begin to walk in them. For some of us, well, we just need to put our foot down and say, devil, enough is enough. That's one of the things they did. He said the priest will put his feet in the middle of the river Jordan. And some of us, that's all we need to do. With the only hunger rising up inside of us, I said, enough of messing up with my children. Enough of that. I'll give you a testimony. A while back, my second daughter, she used to have funny things. Air coming out, pores coming out from the eyes today, from the ears, you know. And one day, I was just a baby Christian, as it were. And I was just so angry that day. Because every time we keep going to the GP. And I remember those days, I was in Ireland, I was working in Ireland. You pay for everything. So each visit is maybe 50 euro or whatever, or Irish pounds at that time. And I just got fed up. I asked my nanny at that time, I said, bring the anointing oil. I didn't even know where that came from. I said, bring the anointing oil. I got the anointing oil. I poured it. He said, oh, it's too much. I said, don't. I poured it in her eyes. Poured it in her ears. I said, enough of this. From now on, you are not coming out again. Pause. I put an end to you. And you won't believe me. That was the end of it. And something else happened here again. I'm sure for some of them, maybe 3 years ago. All the children were having chicken pox. From one child to the other. And we're all laughing. We're all feeling cool with ourselves. We're allowing it. My daughter, Esther, was just 3 months old. If I'm funny enough, one of our ministers is the godfather. They got it on the same day. Both of them, they were all covered in chicken pox. I wouldn't mention the name. You know? 3 months old baby. It happened. My second, the two one didn't have it. Then one day, what's the pastor to me? We're just allowing. I said, it's true, ma. We're just allowing this thing. And we started praying. After praying, this holy anger rose up. And I called Lady. I said, she had two. It was just coming out, actually. She just had maybe about three. Round her mouth. And I said, you chicken pox, I speak to you right now. No more. No more spots. From now on, I put an end to it. And to the glory of the Lord, that was the end of chicken pox. It did not go. Not one more spot. So sometimes, some of us, we need to rise up. We need to get this anger within us. And we need to speak. We need to look at the devil right in the eye. I said, enough of messing up with my marriage. Enough of messing up with my children. Enough of messing up with my finances. And we'll see God begin to move on our behalf. Let's rise up and begin to pray. That today, I am crossing over to the other side. I am crossing over. I am taking up my promises. I am laying hold of my promises. In the name of Jesus. Let's begin to pray. Let's begin to pray. Let's begin to pray. Let's begin to pray that the Lord will give us the boldness. That the Lord will give us the courage, able to go.